There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you along. Next couple of hours, a lot to talk about with you. And if you're new to the show, you don't already have it saved in the contacts in your phone, our phone number and the text line, the same digits, 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. A lot to do on today's show. I was thinking about this as we got started, and maybe I'll... And get some response here from our buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal. The whole Canada thing, we're going to get into it later this hour. The 48th parallel, correct? The 48th parallel, the definition line there on you know, Canada's southern extent there. And President Trump, the 47th president of the United States. There's something there, right? There's some kind of... numerology stuff. I don't know. I throw that out there. But that's on the way, or maybe it is right now, as we get started on this Monday with Todd Stacey. He is a very busy man, always in the world of print, in the world of TV and radio, and with session on its way. He's extra busy, so I'm glad he carved out some time. Hey, Todd.
How's it going?
Yeah, good. What do you think? I mean, it's the 48th parallel, the 47th president. There's like, see, it fits in. They get the numerology people to tell me why this is makes sense. There's something to it.
48, 50, or fight.
There you go. So, see, it's right there. It's built in. There's a lot I want to talk about with sessions starting. But before that, and this kind of has something to do with it, but looking at your email from this morning from Alabama Daily News, okay, I just wrote this note after reading the headline there, and I wrote this note to myself. Hey, Todd, can we hop in my time machine and travel back a decade when the state of Alabama was trying to figure out how to get control of cell phones in Alabama state prisons? Because you have a headline about, you know, trying to get this done in schools. Remember that? Remember all the raids and stuff for cell phones? And the people down here at Atmore were calling radio shows like mine and TV stations from inside the prison? I mean, we can't keep them out of the prisons. What chance do we have at the school?
Yeah, I mean, I do. And that's still a big issue with prisons, obviously for a different reason. And there you're worried about contraband. In schools, they're just talking about, you know, we just got these NAEP scores back, National Assessment of Education Progress. It's the nation's report card. And we did pretty well, especially in the early grades. Our fourth graders led the nation in gains in fourth grade math. Reading was pretty good there too. But it's in the middle school years that we really continue to struggle. And it's not just us. It's not just Alabama. Really across the country, middle school especially is just a real question mark. It's got people scratching their heads over why can't we see the same kind of progress. And so the state's talking about a number of things, including, you know, we've had, you know, probably 5 or 6 years of real intense focus on the early grades from pre-K to third and fourth, but we haven't had that kind of focus on the middle grade. So maybe there needs to be some dedicated policy and funding and things like that. But what they're also talking about is the impact of social media, and especially just the distraction of cell phones in the classroom. This has been a thing for a long time. So Dr. Mackey, the state superintendent, is looking to the legislature. You know, you would think that this is something he could just do on his own. The board probably could. So he's looking for somebody to step up and pass either a board resolution or a law that allows them to actually ban cell phones. You have several districts across the state that have, and that has seen some, you know, good results. Here, Montgomery's one of them. But yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me. I didn't get to bring a cell phone into class, and those were a lot different cell phones back in the day.
Well, listen, I'm so old. Remember that they weren't around when I was back in the days when I was for sure not middle school, high school.
So did you bring your beeper? Is the question?
No, I didn't. I got my first pager, my beeper. I got it when I was working my first commercial radio job for the Grant Radio Group, probably 92 or so in Tuscaloosa, and I thought I was big stuff. I remember bragging about my dad, I got a pager. Then I realized it meant that I was always on call. You know, it took me a year or two to get over thinking I was cool. And then I was like, this is not cool. It's Saturday and we're already into the beers and getting ready for the football game. And they're like, yeah, we need you to go to the transmitter. And I was like, oh gosh, I don't want to do that.
It's kind of a different but similar mentality for schools. Like for these days, you know, if you're on your cell phone, you're just always plugged into something. Mm-hmm. I'm the worst at it. I'm addicted to mine, whether it's following up on a text, following up on Twitter, you know, waiting for that email to come in, and it really distracts you. So imagine being 13, 14 years old, and you're supposed to study for a math test, you know, but...
I got
so
a 14-year-old who's supposed to...
I agree with the concept.
I'm 100% there because I'm the father of a 14-year-old who's supposed to actually right now probably be studying for a math test, right? That is on the phone. So it's a big deal. Now the question is, can we take that phone away from them and then have them do the schoolwork? That's an experiment I've been doing. That's a very narrow, just a subset of my son, saying, okay, we've taken the devices away, now study. And then will they sit there like a tough somebody who on a hunger strike in a H block in Northern Ireland in the day, or you know, they're just going to sit there and not do it? That's a whole other issue. That's a parenting issue. But yeah, having the cell phones out of school, I think is a benefit. Yeah, it's a benefit for the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it all comes down to improvement, trying to figure out a way to, you know, get a handle on middle school learning, but I think it also would apply in the high schools. You know, you got more control over those kids when they're tiny, when they're adolescents, a little less. I for one would be thrilled to see more discipline in schools, but maybe this is the first step.
Okay, let's jump forward to what's been coming. The sands, very few sands left in the hourglass before the new legislative session starts. I know over on IAP, and you go on the inside here of Alabama Daily News, you get the key issues to watch for the legislature in 2025. So give us the highlight reel here. What's the sizzle, the hype video here for session 2025?
Well, there's no signature issue, like there was workforce last year and, you know, economic development, gas tax, where there's a bunch of advertisements and messaging and branding going into the session. But I do think you're going to have some pretty serious issues. You know, crime is probably at the top of the list, dealing with violent crime. What's interesting about that is that, you know, we haven't had a mass shooting in a while, relatively speaking, but Birmingham especially is still hot over the crime rate up there and the fact that they are, you know, they've set a new record for homicides going back to the 30s, which is kind of crazy. So dealing with violent crime is on the front minds of so many lawmakers. And what's interesting, I think you're going to see a bipartisan effort on it. There may be a few different policies where they, you know, they're not unanimous by any means, but they're talking on the same page in terms of these task forces, right? Can the state join with county and city, maybe in some cases some federal, to really give police officers some support for dealing with the violent crime in these cities? There's a shortage on almost every city in Alabama of police officers. So I think you're definitely going to see that on the policy side, some funding side. And then, of course, we've talked about the Glock switch ban. I expect that to be a part of any package. It has passed the House already. Probably would have passed the Senate if it weren't for gambling last year. I don't think there's a ton of disagreement there. There may be some one-off here and there, but there's a lot of agreement in terms of getting that dangerous device off of the streets and letting state law enforcement not just federal law enforcement, have the tools there. So that's one issue. I also think you're going to see immigration.
Yeah, it sounds us too, right? We back what the feds are doing. It's been, versus it being contrary, it's more of an add-on now from a state level to what the movement is nationally.
That's right. And I talked with Senator Elliott about this on Capitol Journal over the weekend. He's right in the middle of things, working with some colleagues about, okay, what can we do? How can we consolidate and really do this efficiently? But they are seeing, okay, there's so much action from the federal government. How can the state complement those efforts, allow our law enforcement officers to, if they do come into contact with somebody, assist federal efforts to, you know, enforce the law? So, you know, a little easier said than done. We've been here before in some ways, back in 2011 with that, what was dubbed the strictest immigration law in the country. And I talked with Senator Elliott about this. One difference now is that back then it really did feel like it was an experiment, like something cooked up in a think tank lab saying, hey, Alabama, y'all go do this and we'll see if it works. And so we were kind of guinea pigs for it. But, you know, 14 years later, that's not the case. There are plenty of other states that have gone down this route, you know, learned what to do, what not to do. And as you mentioned, the other difference is back then they were essentially going against an Obama administration. Now they would be working with a Trump administration. Still, you still got to do the right things when it comes to the law and making sure you don't put things permanently in law that can't be defended and then end up getting gutted later. But there's absolutely an effort to make sure Alabama's doing its part. And I think Republicans especially really want to tap into that energy on immigration at the federal level.
Yeah, Todd, you'll also write about the prison construction. It seems like this is a 3-year-old discussion, if not actually. It's, you go back to, I guess, the first term of Bentley, right, when he started talking about the prison issue and put the task force out there. But now we've arrived at a point where we allocated money, but it just wasn't enough to get both prisons built one. And now you write that there's a plan out here to get money for the second prison. What's the plan? How are we going to get the money?
That's right. So when they first, you know, approved the prison plans back in 2021, they approved a bond issue. So they went to market with a bond issue. But as you may remember, a lot of these social justice groups put a lot of pressure on financial institutions to not buy bonds for anything related to prisons. They just, you know, consider it immoral and all that kind of stuff. You probably remember some of the rhetoric,
mm-hmm.
which did. It intimidated a lot of financial institutions from, you know, those pretty basic investments. So we didn't have a great bond issue. We got maybe 75% of what we wanted, probably less than that. And so now that things have changed, some in the legislature want to go back to the bond market. And I've actually been predicting this all along. Like, things are going to calm down. You can go back to the market. And just think about how culturally things have shifted from 2021 to now. I don't think you're going to have those same pressures on financial institutions. So they had planned all along to bond this money out and borrow this money. So I think one thing it'll do in the legislature is take a lot of pressure off the legislature for having to foot those way larger direct payments toward prisons than they had ever anticipated, at least for the next couple of years.
All right. We'll watch this. And of course, I remind folks, Alabama Daily News, we get those emails, 5 days or 6 days a week, how to sign up for that. And then let's talk about your grueling schedule now coming up for Capital Journal.
Yeah, you're going to want to get the email. It comes out every morning. You can catch up on what's going on. But yeah, Capital Journal, as of tonight, we start nightly coverage of the Alabama legislature. We'll be doing this until the end of session. So it's at 10:30 every night on Alabama Public Television. So think like after your local news,
mm-hmm.
You can tune in to APT to really catch up on what happened that day in the House, Senate, committee, whatever. So we'd be pleased to have you join us. Of course, the Friday night episodes are still at 7:30 and Sundays at noon.
All right. Drink that Gatorade, eat your Wheaties, and get ready.
That's right. Green tea. A lot of green tea.
There you go. Todd, thank you, man. We'll talk next week.
All right, Sean. You be good.
All right. There goes Todd Stacy, and we're coming right back.
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:25 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. So, update there from WKRG. Shamani Baker was talking about the Department of Defense working with local law enforcement, doing some training. A lot of helicopters in the air. Did see a lot of it sounds like it's starting now, or maybe it got started this weekend. Heard two explosions this weekend. Explosions. And I guess separated by 10 or 15 minutes. Seemed pretty significant. And, you know, even more helicopter traffic than normal. Maybe it was already going on this weekend. I don't know. Oh, and also on the law enforcement front, for what it's worth, I think people have heard of this before. I remember first time in some class at the University of Alabama, they told us about the temperature and amount of crime that exists. Like, you know, there's this Goldilocks zone where you have more crime. If it's hotter, way hotter than that, then it goes down. If it's way colder, story from WKRG said, the winter wonderland from a week and a half ago also prompted crime to slow down in Mobile's smallest police precinct. According to a post on Nextdoor, which, by the way, you want some entertainment, go to Nextdoor. I just use it for, it's just my comedy font. That's where I go. It says, according to the post on Nextdoor, where there were no Part 1 crimes reported in the Central Police Precinct in the week of the snowstorm. Central Precinct Captain Matt Garrett wrote, quote, I think the snow may have helped us suppress any criminal activity. Part 1 crimes include violent crimes like murder, robbery, and aggravated assault. They also include property crimes like burglary and vehicle theft. So there you go. I mean, just we need more cold weather. It's like if it gets cold enough, we've been trying to figure out how to get this, you know, the violence in the city under control. We just have to get like some kind of Dr. Freeze or whatever, freeze machine out there, and we'll get it all solved. Just get it cold enough, and then the criminals, you know, you freeze them. Although, how long is it? Because in some places it's cold all the time, and then we get used to the cold, and then that would be the new normal. And they would, but just like intermittent shots of cold and get like a, there's enough in science fiction. There's some kind of cold laser or something like that we can put on the city crime control bad, then you just drop the temperature. Dirt Digger said, I can remember when I got my pager. I thought it was cool, like a doctor, but having to carry all them quarters to go to the payphones was tough. Technology has come a long way. Yeah, I mean, I talk about that. I was such a sucker. My bosses back then, I was this bright-eyed kid in the radio business, my first commercial job working up there. This while I was a student at the university, I did a show on the college station, but I worked for commercial radio. And I was like, oh, wow, I got a pager. I'm big stuff now. And within about a month or two, I was like, yeah, I don't like this so much. And then we got the original bag phone, cell phones, you know, that, remember when you dialed those things, somebody could hear you a quarter mile off? Beep, beep, beep. That was the, yeah, so I did not have any kind of cell or anything in school like Todd was talking about, but I did get them started that in the 90s in the radio business, and then, well, here we sit today. Right, we come back, I want to talk about Canada, right? The tariffs, the discussion here for Canada. Where Canada ranks on our map or our season schedule, remember a couple weeks ago I said about the Columbia deal. I said that Columbia was in a, like an early season game. You know, teams will have the Mercers and the App States, although I shouldn't say App State. They win some games. They'll have these kind of cream puff games, or used to, right at the beginning of the season. And that's what I felt the tariff hubbub was with Columbia. I said, this is a early season game. It's Alabama versus Mercer or whatever, something like that. And then it's going to be an easy win. They're going to be match up and they're going to win. So you saw that. As you go through the season, you're going to have tougher games. And I think the championship game for President Trump in the United States is China. That's the championship game. Along the way, they're going to be, but this Canada game, this is like one of those early matchups that's tough. But we'll talk about it. Get your bets on how long till Canada decides to play ball. Mexico already deciding to play ball, right? Now that they're putting 10,000 troops on the U.S. border to get the tariff hike to pause. We'll talk about those a whole lot more when we come back right here at Midday Mobile. Phone number 343-0106. Phone or text 343-0106. News coming your way, well, right now.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. And if you look at it, movement, we're talking about tariffs and what's happening internationally. What's happening here in the United States is one of the many things is gold is going up. And I say gold, and the voice of my friend Ron, out of nowhere. There he is. There's Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Good day to hold gold, isn't it?
It is. Gold is up. Gold's trading at right at 28.28, and silver's at 31.59. So gold and silver are doing well. Platinum and palladium are up, too. So it was a decent response from the tariffs. The markets, I mean, especially the stock market, took a hit early on because of it, but gold and silver responded positively to it. So they are doing well.
Okay. So let's talk about what you, I mean, you've talked about the growth in gold and silver, but you say a thing that was, I've learned from you, but that was healthy growth, right? So the dips have been important to you. You've even talked to us when it's down. You say that's people taking profit. That makes sense. Does this seem to be a breakout phase here going forward, or is it just a part of the normal climb? Kind of like, what's your gut play on this?
It's all the news reports and everything. And by news, I mean the bullion news and all the different things that we check online show that it's really a direct response to the tariffs. So a positive for the Trump administration trying to get the border and fentanyl and all that under control. So, I mean, when there's good news in America and people are feeling strong about it, usually stock markets and gold and silver do well. And, of course, when there's negativity and interest rates are going up and things of that nature, then, of course, they respond usually in the opposite direction.
Okay. What shapes and forms? Somebody comes in there and says, okay, I'm about to get off the fence. I'm going to buy some gold, buy silver, or platinum and palladium. Like, we talk about coins, you know, quite a bit, you know, or rounds. But what other ways can we buy that gold and silver?
Well, yeah, in gold and silver, you have it in rounds, you have it in bar format, and the least expensive for gold is a 1 ounce, and for silver, it's 10 ounces or higher as far as the price per unit and things of that nature. But gold, we have 5 ounce bars. We can get them pretty much anything they need, but I caution people when they're buying gold not to go much over a 5 ounce bar because they're much harder to liquidate. Not everybody will buy larger than 5 ounces at one sitting. Just maybe they can't afford it or they don't trust it or things of that nature. So, I mean, when they're in here, we try to educate them and let them know if they're asking for larger bars that it's a lot of times for the money savings, it's not worth it. Get the smaller ones because if you need to raise a little capital, it's nice to be able to sell 1 ounce instead of five.
See, this is the education you get, just the tip of the iceberg when you're at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. So, Ron, tell them how to get to school. How do they come see you?
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can find us on the web at MobileBayCoins.com or just give us a call, 251-725-1590.
Hey, thank you, Ron.
You're welcome, Sean.
All right, there he goes. Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Go see him. Yeah, the gold numbers are up, as the story is. It's tariffs. It's a trade war, right? An open trade war here. And the tariffs that Trump said he was going to do, he said he was going to do this, right? He did say, so he's doing once again what he said he was going to do. You might like it or not like it, but he's doing what he said he's going to do. As he's put out, the AP story says Trump puts tariffs on Canada, Mexico, and China, spurring trade war as North American allies respond. President Donald Trump on Saturday signed an order to impose stiff tariffs on imports from Mexico, Canada, and China, drawing swift retaliation and an undeniable sense of betrayal from the country's North American neighbors as the trade war erupted among the longtime allies. Okay. Well, why don't we start, because I think the story may be different with that. Let's start with Canada. Can we start with Canada? Can I have my Canada music here? Okay, good. This is all I could think about yesterday and today with the discussion of Canada.
Should we blame the government or blame society?
Or should we blame the images on TV?
No, blame Canada.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Shelf. But now when I see him, it tells me I'm not putting
himself.
Well,
blame Canada. By the way, I think the savviest political commentary will come from Trey Parker, Matt Stone from South Park. Absolutely brilliant in its time. And that's old, the Blame Canada. That's from one of their movies about blaming Canada. But I think this is interesting because Canada, you can say, China is really different, right? Very different discussion. Mexico, I will argue, is different than Canada as well, and we'll get to that in a second, how they responded to the tariffs. But Canada, and Canada's doing this like, who, what, us? We're nice guys and gals, right? But Trump said he was going to do this. He's going to, if there were bad deals out there, he was going to rework the deals. And to see the clutching of Pearl, you know, Goldman Sachs, if Goldman Sachs doesn't like it, then I probably do like it, right? To see the reaction there. If Jamie Dimon thinks it's the worst thing ever, then I might think the idea is all right. So I think this, just like I said about Colombia, I don't think it's done as quickly, but I think this works itself out as well. There's this period of time where everybody's puffing up and gonna say we're going to resist this, we're going to do that. But it ends up working out in the long term because, well, those countries need us and need to do business with us. This goes on this AP story. Say, Republican president posted on social media that the tariffs were necessary to, quote, protect Americans, end quote, pressing the three nations to do more to curb the manufacture and export of illicit fentanyl for Canada and Mexico to reduce illegal immigration into the U.S. Okay? So, but of course, more comes across our southern border, but there's still illegal immigration coming from Canada. I don't know how what the percentage is. I imagine it's small compared to what comes across the southern border. But it starts to, you look at the tariff part and, you know, there's the whole thing about the market today and is the market going to collapse from this? I think the market is, you would be a fool to not think the market comes down on this, but I think it rebounds and resets fairly quickly. The idea is, okay, these tariffs are going to cause what is already high inflation to get worse in the country. And one of the things they talked about is gasoline prices, right, on inflation. Well, there's some gasoline that we're dealing with coming from the north. But Canada, I don't know if they have many routes to get their gasoline, you know, get their energy to market, the pipelines. Like, Canada has pretty significant production of oil and natural gas. But to get it out, they've got some of their bigger lines. There may be some that I don't know, but they pump it out there, out of like Saskatchewan or Alberta. And then it's got to come in a pipeline that comes to the United States. So I don't know how they're going to be able to put the screws on the United States on energy. I think the flip side could absolutely be true on that. Now, you could get in the discussion. I heard Jeff talk about it. It's funny, whether it be the movie Strange Brew, that I think it's fantastic, or Canadian beer, you know, forest products, I think is interesting. And I wonder if this reset, the forest product portion in Trump's first term, remember this, and this makes a difference here at home. The idea of the amount of, and Danny Lipford's been on with me many times talking about the amount of lumber coming out of Canada and Canadian companies are bringing it in. But that kind of got reset in Trump's first term. You see things here locally. Okay, Canfor, right? So Canfor bought up a bunch of mills. We've had those news stories down here. That's a Canadian company. But they reacted back then. You know, I don't know how many years it was into Trump's first term. But it ended up, the net of it is, like Canfor has the mills here. They're buying local lumber, you know, local timber, making lumber here. Canadian company, but you're not going to get them on a tariff because it's being done right here in the United States. So it's just interesting to see the panic. And I don't know that there's, like I said, we'll get to Mexico. China's the one. Like I said, that's the championship game that's on down the list. But Canada needs us more than we need them. I mean, Canada's number one trade partner, it makes sense, is the United States. We share that 48th, right? That border. So they are way big needing us. Now, are there some things that, sure, will cause the price of this, that, or the other to go up a little bit? But Canada's not exactly mass producing plastic widgets, right, and send with like Chinese slave labor does, and sending them in here. So Canada's a different story. I think this one gets worked out pretty quickly. I mean, they keep talking about the energy, the U.S. importing energy from Canada. But once again, they've got to get it in pipelines that comes to the United States. If they're going to try to sell it somewhere else, it's got to come through here. So you got raw materials, you got wood, lumber, energy. I think get you mineral mining, but I don't think they have much of a leg to stand on here. So I think this one's resolved more quickly. It says Trump also declared an economic emergency in order to place duties of 10% on all imports from China and 25% on imports from Mexico and Canada. Energy imported from Canada, including oil, natural gas, and electricity, would be taxed at 10% rate. So Canada can't take it, at least on the stuff that goes through pipelines. They can't go take it and sell it somewhere else. They got to sell it. It's got to come through the United States. And this is hard hitting. So outgoing Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau said in a somber tone, so just hear it in your ears, somber Trudeau. In a somber tone, he announced his country would put a matching 25% tariff on up to $155 billion in U.S. imports, including alcohol and fruit. So those things, but the beauty is we can turn around and say, I don't know about the booze, but the fruit can be sold in other markets. So I think this is a very, could be a one-sided situation with Canada. Now, you look at Mexico. What about the southern border in this? Well, I don't think that one lasted long, did it? Here's a story from, this one's from Fox News. And maybe you heard it this morning. I know they talked about it earlier on the station. Mexico has now agreed to deploy. It's amazing how things happen here. Mexico has agreed to deploy 10,000 troops to the U.S.-Mexico border in an exchange, in a negotiation, in a trade here for a one-month delay. For 1 month delay on President Donald Trump's threatened tariffs. This announcement made by Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum. Said Sheinbaum made the announcement on social media Monday morning, roughly 12 hours before the tariffs were set to take effect. So wait a second, did they work a deal? It sure sounds like it. Trump and Sheinbaum spoke today and agreed that Mexico will do more to combat drug trafficking in the United States and that the U.S. would step up efforts to block the flow of firearms into Mexico. So you're telling me this, you're telling me that there was a way to get this done before, and it didn't get done until Trump got in there and said, I'll tell you what, maybe we make this a little harder on you business-wise. It's amazing how quickly this happened, that there's now 10,000 troops magically appeared from Mexico to help work on the border. So here's a quote here. This is said Trump confirmed the deal. In his own post on Truth Social, describing the call with Sheinbaum as a very friendly conversation. I love his description of calls. I'm going to start doing that. Wouldn't you want to do that? Like, hey, did you talk to your aunt? Yeah. It was a perfect phone call. It was very friendly. That's what I would tell my mom. Yes, it was the best phone call ever. Here's a quote. Said, I just spoke with President Claudia Sheinbaum of Mexico. It was a very friendly conversation wherein she agreed to immediately supply 10,000 Mexican soldiers on the border separating Mexico and the United States. These soldiers will specifically be designated to stop the flow of fentanyl and illegal migrants into the country. End quote. Now, you're getting deals done. You're getting deals done. Like I said, I don't think Canada lasts long. There's the initial deal with Mexico. China's a different story. And we can talk about China. I think that's the, like I said, that's going to be the toughest of the matchup of the, you know, my football analogy, that U.S. versus China is going to be championship game. I'm not sure right now who's going to win that one. But the other ones, all that, I think we're going to have a great season. Great season. All right. So let me run back here to some text here and get caught up. Matt says, hey, Sean, I agree. Canada terrified is kind of like Alabama playing Vandy in the early season. Right. Oh, wait. Wait a minute. Never mind that example. Yeah, thank you. Canada, don't bring back up last season, Matt. Okay, I'm kind of getting over what happened there with the Vandy loss and so many others. But you can't win them all, I guess. Just don't lose to Vandy, please, again. Let's see. This texter said, I think the strong dollar is the American ace in the hole. Yeah, the dollar's up too. So, texter, I agree. So, precious metals and the dollar. Strong dollar's American's ace in the hole. Very hard to compete against the rising dollar. Typically benefits your workaday American and crushes the rest of the world. Dirt digger, Sean, I don't worry about Mexico or Canada because we have Mason Hills Farm and Fairhope Brewery, buy local, and you don't have to worry about tariffs. You know, I got on the lumber part of it, too, in the beginning, but I thought about this. I haven't talked to mother cow people. I would talk to one of them this evening. What we think that's going to do for beef prices in the United States, for the producers, right, for the producers. I'll be interested to see how that shakes out. Unnamed texter says, we're the richest nation in the world. We hold the cards. Trump knows this, and it's not in foreign pockets. This is why these leaders are folding. Yeah, they're folding because they don't have as much to negotiate with, right? I mean, you go into any negotiation, you have two parts of leverage. You have the leverage of whatever you bring in that the other person wants, and you also have the leverage of saying, hey, fine, we won't do anything. We'll just keep it this way. I'll walk away from whatever you want to offer, right? I mean, that's the... When you go in to buy, like I always go back to the 10-speed bicycle, you're going in to buy somebody's 10-speed bicycle. Part of your leverage is the cash in your pocket, and part of your leverage is you're going to go and leave with that cash in your pocket. This is good. So this texter says, this is old dad. Old dad on the text line said, Sean, I buy lumber commercially for a living with forest products. Concern is the SYP lumber will raise their pricing to go along with the Canadian SPF. That's coming in via rail. The net effect is that the lumber would basically rise 20 to 25%. Now, don't you think, old dad, that's so conversations I had with somebody today in the business, don't you think that they may not be in the first month, second month, something like that, but don't you think there's going to be room for somebody to come in below that 25% rise that's integrated with, you know, local producer, even if a mill that has Canadian roots like Canfor, couldn't somebody come in and go buy timber and cut it and get below that 20 or 25%? That's going to be interesting. So, old dad, I'd love your work in the business of buying it. I talk to people, we work in the business of growing it, where we think the lumber prices are going to go with this. You think it's 20 to 25% rise. Do you see that as being like in the next couple months then going away? Do you see it sustained? I'd like to hear about that. Jason says, isn't Sheinbaum an odd name for the president of Mexico? Just a thought. Enjoy the show. Yeah. Sheinbaum is secular, but came from her parents are Jewish immigrants into Mexico. There's like 50-something thousand people that are Jewish in Mexico out of a population of 125 million or something like that. So the fact that they end up as a president, I thought it was interesting, but she seems to have some backing up there, and seems to know how to do a deal. Here her country was looking at big-time tariffs, but somehow she could miraculously have troops show up at the border. And guess what? She did a better play than Canada and Trudeau did. Their tariffs are off. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:55, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. The segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my man, Trey. 16-plus years getting junk out of storage units, houses, getting big junk gone from around houses. Because Trey always reminds me to remind y'all that it's not just the stuff inside a home or a storage unit. It's storage buildings and backyards they take down, above ground pools, trampolines, those giant... Listen, you got big stuff. You're like, we want to get rid of the... I don't know, you got the big swing set in the backyard. Your youngest child's in their 30s. Time to let it go. How are you going to get rid of it? 1-800-GOT-JUNK can handle it. If it's a garage full of junk you need gone, they can handle it. If it's a storage unit, you've been there with your business or personally, a storage unit that you pay on every month, you're like, we don't need the stuff in there, but I'd hate to go down there and clean it out. Well, they will, and they'll do it for you, and they'll do it with an appointment, too. You make a good old-fashioned appointment. When you go online or get on the phone and contact them, they'll find the day that works for you, the time that works for you. Set the appointment. You're there, they're there, and you just show them the junk You want gone. You walk around like a, you know, like a French king. I want that gone and that gone, and point at the stuff. And then they'll quote you a price right there on the spot. You say yes and get to work and get it done. I've done it with this radio station, and personally, many of us here have. And you can go Google, look at the Google reviews from hundreds of local folks that thought enough of the service to, after doing the service, to go online and say, this is pretty great. We'll use them again. So use them again and again. It's my buddy Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They're online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone. The name is a number and give them a call at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right. Sean is saying Canada produces, mass produces bad hockey. We've had Canada Stanley Cup since 1994. I just don't keep up with the hockey. So wasn't it always like Canadians are supposed to be better, but now they've exported it. Let's see. This texter says, so we're complaining that the Mexican government and military is in bed with all these cartels and smugglers. The 10,000 Mexican troops are going to do what? I think if there's a profit incentive there that's bigger maybe in the short term and can work around the cartels, I think they will do. I've told you all the story, right, of a person that close to our family who was kidnapped by the cartels, and our family business had to get this person back out of, and how they ended up in that narrow case working with the Mexican government and Marines, and how it worked out a lot better for our guy than it did the cartel. I'm not saying that's widespread, but there's examples where that can be done. We'll maybe tell that story one day. Also, it says, I guess it's time to figure out a response from Canada. Just say we're going to place 10,000 Royal Mounted Troopers on the border. Yeah, the Mounties, right? All right, coming right back.